Throughout the ages, history has been altered by word of mouth and the misrepresentation of those who might not have been present when some of the world's most significant events took place. Channelers Barry and Connie Strom bring through the spirits of those who actually witnessed or took part in these historical events and lets them tell their stories in their own words. Welcome to Channeling History. And now, here are your hosts, Barry and Connie Strom.
Hey, good evening, everybody, and welcome to Channeling History. We're the only show where we speak to the souls that make things happen throughout the ages. And we're brought to you on the Parrix Radio Network. I'm Barry Strom, your host, and I'll be doing the channeling tonight.
I would also like to thank you for tuning into our show tonight. I'm Connie Strom, your co-host. This week, we will be channeling three of the founding fathers of the United States, John Adams, Thomas Jefferson, and Alexander Hamilton. We'll be getting their opinions concerning our modern policies in government. So please tell your friends about us so we can educate more people.
Okay, I think we're probably going to need a disclaimer tonight. So the opinions or statements voiced on our show are the channeled words of the spirits and do not necessarily reflect our opinions, those of the Parrix Network, or those of our sponsors.
Last week, we had a rather interesting show in which we channeled the spirits of three of the lesser-known archangels. If you missed the show, it's well worth listening to.
All of our shows are available on our YouTube channel. It's in my name, Barry Strom. If you'd like to download them, go to Podomatic.com and just search Channeling History. We can also be heard on Spotify, Audible, Pandora, iTunes, and many of the other platforms.
We welcome your questions tonight through the chat room. While we do have questions prepared for our guests, we also welcome your participation and look forward to your questions.
Now, when we begin channeling tonight, as usual, Connie will ask the questions, and I will answer the questions in the words of the spirits. But before we channel, we always say a prayer of protection. So, Connie, let's say the prayer and begin to get channeling with our founding fathers.
God, please grant us your wisdom and protection. Grant us the knowledge that we can handle and keep us safe from all things that will harm us. Keep the messages positive and pure love. Keep us safe from our egos. We ask these things in the light of the seen, the unseen, and the honesty of God.
Amen. All right, Connie, I think we're going to have a very, very interesting show tonight. So let's begin by speaking to John Adams. He was the second president of the United States and played a huge role in the writing of the Constitution and in the founding of our country.
Welcome, President Adams. Will you sum up your political beliefs at the time of the writing of the Constitution?
Well, I knew that we had to protect our country. I knew that the Articles of Confederation were not working. We did not have any ability to tax. We did not have any ability to do many things, to have a strong military. Keep in mind that we were basically feeling our way along. There had never been a country like the United States before. We had just secured our freedom from Great Britain after many, many years of fighting with them. The odds had been against us, but we managed to pull it off. We had debt. We owed France money. France had come in and essentially provided the power we needed to win the Revolutionary War. I believed that we needed a strong central government. Keep in mind, at that time, we were an agrarian society. There were people's citizens strung out in the wilderness areas. The South was reliant upon plantations. Cities were still not developed fully, but they were becoming centers of political power. I believe that, as I said, we needed a strong central government, and we needed the ability to raise money. Up until this time, we relied upon the states to provide tax monies for us. Because of this, many of the states would not live up to their expectations, and the government essentially was broke. So we needed to do something. I had served as vice president, or I was to serve as vice president under President Washington for 2 terms. And there were many, many different opinions about how we should operate our government. Many just simply wanted to stay under the Articles, but I knew that that was not going to work into the long term. So yes, I was for strong central government, for a right to tax, for a right to have a military, and to have a strong banking system.
You were the only president ever elected as a member of the Federalist Party. What was the platform of the Federalist Party?
Well, keep in mind, in those days, President Washington did not choose to be a member of a political party. He felt that the president should remain neutral, and he felt that political parties would not benefit. I realized that we needed to do a stronger centralization of the government. Federalists believed in a very, very strong central government, right of taxation, and that the central government would be more powerful than the individual states. There were many people that still felt that the state should have the greatest power in what to say. As I said, this was the beginnings. We required many, many compromises, but the Federalist Party, we didn't last very long, and yes, I was the only one.
What is your opinion of federalism today?
The growth of the cities has far exceeded those of rural areas at this time. The cities are basically controlling the country in many, many ways. We're seeing that many of the cities have degenerated politically. We're seeing that there's much poverty in the cities. We're seeing that essentially our rural areas are shrinking very rapidly. When we were formulating the government, we never ever conceived of the vast number of people or of the fact that the country would be so large, even extending to areas of Alaska, which we did not even imagine in those days. Very much has changed, but political strength in the cities is becoming a more dangerous situation than we ever faced. Population is so great in the cities today that they could truly control many of the more rural states. For instance, there are so many more people in New York City than there are in the states of North, South Dakota, Wyoming combined. The rights of the cities have got to be balanced against the rights of rural areas. So the federalism that we believed in my day is not something that would work in current America.
Many of the Federalist ideas are incorporated into the modern Democratic Party. What's your opinion of today's Democratic Party?
Today's Democratic Party believes in dependence of the citizens upon a large governmental system. Many things have changed. In my day, there was no social net, and today a social net is required. The question becomes how great the reliance of a citizen should be upon the central government. The Democratic Party of today believes that a huge dependence by the citizens upon central government is the best way to run a modern political system. The problem with that is that as central government grows, they lose control of the bureaucracies that are required to run that large government. The huge government today has very little control over. The different departments have grown so huge that it is very difficult to control them. The modern Democratic Party, in my mind, has a lot of good things in the social benefits of which they conceive. On the negative side, they have little understanding of fiscal responsibility. Both parties today spend as if there is no end to it. There are definitely problems with the Democratic Party, but there are also many, many problems with the modern Republican Party.
Okay, let's go on, because I would like to know what your opinion is of the modern Republican Party.
I think that in many instances, the Republican Party of today overreacts to many of the programs that the Democratic Party would bring to fruition. The Republican Party today is in many ways very similar to the Democratic Party. In my time, there was a huge difference. The Democrat-Republican Party is what it was called, that was supported by Mr. Jefferson, had very strong ideas. They believed in states' rights, and they believed in the fact that individual rights were extremely important. Today, power is essentially what drives both parties. There is so much money available to the politicians today. Many of the politicians on both parties are simply interested in power, in accumulating great wealth, in doing many of the things that we would have probably considered treason in our day. The fact that politicians spend millions and millions of dollars to obtain an office that pays a salary of a couple hundred thousand dollars a year is indicative of a cancer that is undermining the current political system.
What, in your opinion, is the status of states' rights today?
That's an interesting question. We're seeing that the government is taking many of the decisions that should be left to the states. The states, each individual state, understands what is best for them. Today you're seeing the government making decisions that override what the citizens of the states would like to have take place. As the central government grows, it is inevitable that the rights of states will decline.
The Federalists opposed slavery. What is your opinion of the current movement for reparations?
Slavery was a terrible thing. I never, ever owned a slave. I was the only one among the first 12 presidents that never owned a slave. So my record is clear. Slavery was terrible. It took away all of the rights of the African Americans of the time. But currently, huge amounts of money have been spent to bring equality to the African Americans in the United States. We're seeing that educational systems have bent over backwards in order to bring African Americans into their colleges and schools. We're still seeing instances, of course, where there are people that do not believe in the true equality of all. But so much time has expired, and so much has been spent to bring about racial equality in the country, that I feel that there is no need for reparations, and I see no way that there could ever be a computation that would bring equality for the Native Americans from families of slaves.
You are devoted to the right to counsel and the presumption of innocence. What is your opinion of the justice system in the United States today?
I still think that the United States has one of the best justice systems in the world. There are situations where there are inequalities in the justice system. But I still think that our system is one of the finest. I do not believe that judges should be elected. I think there should be a just system of appointment for judges. Once a judge becomes part of the political system, then they are susceptible to accepting funding and pressure by individuals.
You were in favor of the three branches of government so that they would act as a check upon each other. Do you think the United States government has three equal branches today?
I think that the executive branch is attempting to gain more powers than we ever foresaw them having. The executive branch has grown greatly in power. The legislative branch is trying to exert controls over the judicial branch. Currently, they threaten to increase the number of judges because they do not get their way. There are problems with our system. I think everyone should step back and analyze how they truly can have equality in all three branches.
Then in our modern government, you do see some branches trying to take control over the other?
Yes. I think that both the executive branch and the legislative branch are trying to gain control over the judicial system.
You were the first vice president of the United States under George Washington. What is your opinion of the current role of the vice president?
When I was vice president, I was chosen because I was the runner-up to the president, George Washington. I just simply was a figurehead. Today, the vice president exerts much more powers than they did in my day. I think that it is dangerous in certain respects if the vice president does not support what is desired by the president.
When you were elected president, the candidates did not personally campaign. What is your opinion of our electoral system today?
I think the fact that the incredible amounts of money that are paid in political systems is undermining the system. I think that the government should pay all of the expenses of a president running for office.
Okay, sir, thank you so much for being with us. Do you have a final message for our listeners?
Yes, so much has changed since the days of our founding. I still consider the United States the finest country in the world. Our politicians today have got to learn to compromise. They've got to learn to work together as we did to form the Constitution. They need to listen to the people. They need to do what is required so that the United States can pay off its debts and be viable far into the future. So thank you for allowing me to come through. I appreciate it, and I know that Thomas is standing here and waiting to speak.
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Adams. And Mr. Jefferson, thank you for coming on with us again. Will you sum up your political beliefs at the time of the writing of the Constitution?
I was in favor of states' rights. I thought that a strong political system would overrun the rights of the states. I owned large properties. I was a plantation owner. I relied upon the crops. And I knew that there would be a time that we would be in conflict with the political desires of the large cities. I knew that there were many cities on the East Coast that were growing and could consolidate political power. It was very difficult for politicians in rural areas to consolidate political power and compare that to that of the cities. Many of the attorneys and lawyers and politicians were located in the eastern cities and had the ability to join together and form strong political unions. So I believed in the rights of individuals and in the states' rights.
What were your beliefs concerning slavery?
I was torn concerning slavery. I wrote that all men were created equal in the Declaration of Independence. I know that the population of slaves was not considered equal in any way, and they were not to the educated whites. The blacks, while there were some that were free and had great abilities, most of them were uneducated. Most of them had no idea how to govern themselves. I also knew that there was no way that the South could economically advance without the institution of slavery. I had many slaves. I tried to treat them reasonably, but there were times that decisions were made that were very, very wrong. I had individuals that were watching over the slaves that would do things that were quite brutal, which I did not really appreciate. Slavery, I knew it was wrong, but I also knew I could not exist economically without it.
What is your opinion of the current movement for reparations?
I do not believe that there is any way that your governmental system can come up with a fair means of compensating the generations that have come from individuals that were slaves. The huge amount of time that has expired, the individuals of dark skin color were mistreated for many, many years. The Union made mistakes after the Civil War that harmed the freed slaves. It was really not until the 1960s that segregation became a real positive thing for the black community. But as my friend John has said, much money has been spent to try to bring racial equality. I do not believe that the current movement for reparations would serve any positive benefit. And I believe that it would create great animosity among some members of the white community, and that possibly the act of giving large sums of money to descendants of slaves could create a white backlash as well.
Did you believe that the best policy toward Native Americans would be if they would assimilate to American culture and customs?
Yes, I thought that that would be the best way for the Native Americans. It was very early in the expansion of our country, and we had a need for land. Sadly, the Native Americans had the land, and in many instances, if not most instances, we were not fair in taking their properties. I thought that if we could have them assimilate, that it would be much easier to make deals with them to purchase their properties. I did not realize truly how strongly they clung to their culture, and rightfully so. What we did to the Native Americans is a terrible, terrible blot upon the American culture. Even today, you see Native Americans living in poverty when there simply should be no need for it. Your government wastes huge amounts of money, and you have many Native Americans living in abject poverty simply because we've taken their lands. So I did think that that was proper, and I certainly misunderstood what the wants and desires of the Native Americans truly were.
So then you do have some regrets about your policy towards the Native Americans at that time.
Absolutely. But I'm also not sure what else could have taken place. The white community was looking for expansion westward. It was the only way that they could expand. Canada was a British colony. We could not expand to the north. We did unfair things to Mexico, and we did the country did take properties that were owned by Mexico. The Louisiana Purchase, that was probably my greatest accomplishment. And we did purchase the land from France, but we created terrible problems with the Native Americans that were living on that in that purchase area. So, yes, I have many regrets.
Mr. Jefferson, what were your religious beliefs?
As I read the Bible of the times, there were stories in there that I could not comprehend as being accurate. I did not ever be convinced of the existence of God. Of course, when I returned home, I learned that that was a great mistake that I made, but I tried as much as possible to live a good and fair life. I was given a great gift of intellect, and I tried to use it to the best of my ability to help the people. But I could not overcome my agnosticism.
During the Aaron Burr trial for treason, you were the first American president to argue for executive privilege. Do you think executive privilege is abused today?
It is very important that the chief executive has the privilege of secrecy. He has to be able to speak to his closest confidants. He needs to be able to get advice. He needs to protect the secrecy, especially with what he's doing today with modern spying technologies. There are many countries around the world that would like to see the United States defeated. That is a fact. Executive privilege is very, very important. The press would like to know everything. The opposing political party would like to know everything the president's doing as well. But he has to have the ability to keep private certain conversations. Now, there are many conversations that do not need to be kept private, and today we're seeing executive privilege being used to protect many subjects where the people should have the right to know. So as the government has grown in such an exponential fashion, so has many of the abuses, and executive privilege is certainly abused today.
You were a proponent of states' rights. How do you envision states' rights in our modern government?
I actually think that we got it right in the Constitution. I think that institutions such as the Electoral College have got to be preserved. Today you're seeing a political party want to do away with the Electoral College because it gives the rural states a more or less a level playing field. What you need to understand is that many things have not changed, especially the political powers of the cities. Cities have the ability to control the entire country. Rural states have got to be protected. You have got to maintain the protections, especially as in the Senate, where each state gets two individuals and they have the right to vote against certain policies. So states' rights need to be protected as they did in my time.
Yeah. You favored decentralized government. Do you think our current form of government can survive into the future?
I do not think under the what is taking place would allow long-term survival. You have no regard for fiscal responsibility. You are about to find out that an incredible debt, such as you have in the United States, can become impossible to service. You will never pay back the debt that you have run up in these current times. Fiscal responsibility will undermine the country. A lack of politicians compromising will destroy the country. There has to be compromise. If we hadn't compromised with the Constitution, you would not have one. It is imperative that many of the things of which I spoke are taken into consideration for the future.
Okay, our current national debt is over $31 trillion. Do you think we can survive such a huge national debt?
No, to be quite blunt. I think that you have to be able to service the debt. That is a number that exceeds your entire gross national product. You have to have a plan to retire that debt. Some debt is fine, but you have absolutely no doubts that you can spend money on anything that you wish to do.
Hey, thank you so much, Mr. Jefferson, for joining us this evening. Do you have a final message?
Yes. Today, the United States is faced with many, many problems. There are countries that would love to see the United States fail. You have politicians that wish only to gain their own power. You have many situations that will, if allowed to continue, undermine the long-term evolution for the country. It is a time where the large central government is attempting to take over the rights of the states and of the individuals living in those states. The Constitution that we put together is actually an incredibly amazing document. It has survived for hundreds of years, and it has provided a foundation that has allowed the country to prosper. We never had any idea of the great growth that would follow the founding of this very simple 13 colonies. We never imagined the great wars that the country would fight. And we also never imagined the incredible wealth that the country would generate. We provided a foundation. It was a very strong foundation. It allowed the country of the United States to grow. But the individuals that elect the politicians today have got to understand that things must change. You have got to elect people that understand the commandments of God and are willing to do the best for the people. So I thank you very much for allowing me to come through tonight. I appreciate every time I get the opportunity to speak. And I hope that the people of the United States will understand many of the problems that they're facing into the future. It's not an easy time. But keep in mind that when we founded the country, it was not an easy time as well. There were many that never thought we could pull it off. But we defeated the strongest country in the world. The United States is now the strongest country in the world. And there are many that would like to defeat you as well. So thank you for allowing me to speak. I appreciate it. And I know that Alexander is here and that he has a few things to say as well.
Thank you so much, Mr. Jefferson. Welcome, Mr. Hamilton. Would you like to sum up your political beliefs at the time of the writing of the Constitution for us?
I believed in a strong central political system. I was also a Federalist. I believed that in order for the country to survive, that we needed a very, very strong banking system. In those days, we were allowed, the states had to provide money for us. We were always underfunded. The country was basically broke. I thought that the cities were where the power, the intellect, the individuals that would help the country to grow existed. I wanted power consolidated. I wanted the Constitution to provide regulations that would allow us to tax, to bring in money. I felt that the basis that we needed was a strong financial system. Keep in mind, in the beginning, we did not even print our own money. We were using coinage, Spanish coinage at the time. We needed so many things. It is almost impossible for anybody listening today to understand all of the challenges that we faced to create a more perfect union that could exist into the future.
What is your opinion of today's Federal Reserve?
I think that today's Federal Reserve is abusing the system. I wanted a strong banking system. Today, the Federal Reserve, in many instances, follows political decisions. I wanted the banking system to be totally neutral. Today, there's no question that the Federal Reserve makes policy that follows what the political parties in control require of them. Today, you've seen a great inflation that should have never taken place. The Federal Reserve today has grown to become an incredibly powerful organization. I think that the Federal Reserve needs to be reorganized to assure that individuals that are members of the Federal Reserve are truly neutral in their decision making.
So what national banking system do you believe would work today?
I think that the modern banking system should consist of an organization similar to the Fed that has control over most of the decisions controlling monetary policy. I think that they need to have a more neutral type of analysis system that is more accurate. Perhaps an artificial intelligence system can be derived that will truly show the effects of the Fed's decisions upon the people and upon the economy. I think that there should be no political influence on the group that makes financial policy decisions.
Our current national debt is over $31 trillion, which equates to 128% of our gross national product. Do you believe our country can survive with such a huge national debt?
No. That exceeds anything that can be considered reasonable. It is so large that I cannot conceive of any way that that debt can be paid back without causing an incredible recession. Your politicians need to take a realistic look at national debt. If they do not have the money, they do not need to spend it. It is impossible for any individual or governmental organization to exist far into the future when they have to service such a debt load. It is probably the greatest danger faced by your country.
If you were suddenly put in the president's office, what would you do to try to pay it down?
First of all, I would have a balanced budget. I would not spend more than we take in. I would have a different taxation system. I would make sure that everyone was paying taxes. I would assure that there would be a sinking fund that would help retire debt. I would take steps to assure that the Social Security system was refunded adequately. Basically, I would start by taking the waste out of government spending and using that to pay down the debt.
That could be quite a bit. In 1780, you wrote, "The fundamental deficit, or the defect, is a want of power in Congress." What do you think about our Congress today?
I think that Congress has exceeded exponentially the facts of my statement. Congress wants great power, and they want more and more. They want the individuals to be totally dependent upon the government. Today, many people are dependent upon Social Security. Many people are having hardships because of the great inflation. Many people are being driven to relying totally upon government powers. Congress can be the greatest enemy of the country. Individuals in Congress that simply are there for power and money need to be removed. I would suggest term limits at this point. There was a time that I thought that qualified individuals should serve for life, but money is the root of all evil, and politicians must rely on exterior funding in order to remain in office. So, in many respects, Congress can be the greatest enemy of the country.
What is your opinion of our current method of taxation?
I think that it is highly unfair. I think that there are many people that are of great wealth that are given loopholes, that are allowed to avoid paying great amounts of taxes. You have very profitable companies that pay no taxes. Everyone that gains from the country, that profits from the opportunity to make money, to make your great wealth, needs to pay taxes in order to support the country that gave them the opportunity.
You proposed a strong central government with the ability to collect taxes and raise an army. How do you see that working out today?
As I just said, there are many problems. In my time, it was a necessity. We were starting from zero. Your presidents and Congress has seen fit to spend far more money than they have ever taken in. They have created a national debt that will undermine the country's ability to function far into the future. And they continue to spend like the proverbial drunken sailor. The waste in government spending is unbelievable. The government needs to understand that they have to spend as if they were spending other people's money and that they have a responsibility for it. Tax dollars are the result of people's hard work, and those people need to be understood and protected.
Okay, you favored separation of powers into the three areas, legislative, executive, and judicial branches. How do you see separation of powers working out today?
I see that the executive and legislative branch are trying to control the judicial system. Appointments of judges have become incredibly political. The executive branch is trying to grab as much power as possible. Congress is trying to gain as much power as possible. The judicial system is responding to political pressures that we never envisioned. The politicians are responding to financial contributions in the amounts that were inconceivable. There are many, many things taking place that have got to be changed.
Okay, you had suggested that certain politicians should be elected for life. How do you think that would work today?
Today, that is one of the worst thoughts of which I could conceive. You have politicians that have essentially been elected for life. They've never gained experience in the business world, and they have used those long terms of service to solidify financial gains and political power. Things have changed very much since my day, and in fact, I'm at the other end of the pendulum. I feel that term limits would be an ideal solution to many of the problems, which is exactly the opposite of which I spoke during my time.
Hey, compromise was essential in the writing of the Constitution. Today, it seems compromise is impossible in our Congress. Do you see any possibility that our two parties can compromise and work for the betterment of the people?
It does not look possible at this time. The one thing that happens when emergencies arise, people come together. Hopefully, it will not be something like a war that's needed to bring people together. But politicians have got to understand that compromise is the only way. I'm not sure what will happen to make your politicians begin to get along. There's such hatred in your Congress today. That hatred has the ability to undermine the country. Today, you have two political parties at war with each other. There were times that politicians were at war in my day as well. But when we needed to compromise, we could do it. Today, it seems like obstinance is the keynote to political action. I certainly can't see it in the near future.
Do you have any ideas of some way that we could force them to compromise? Or at least think about it?
vote existing politicians out of office, make the new politicians understand that they are there to serve the people. That is the only way I can see to solve the problem.
Okay. You are responsible for the creation of a United States Mint and the minting of coinage. Today we're seeing government officials pushing for digital money. What's your opinion of digital money?
I think that the push for digital money is only another way to make people dependent upon the government. I find that it would be a very, very dangerous thing. Money, you can control how much of it you make. But with digital money in today's technology, the government could be aware of every penny that you spend.
Do you think we should return to the gold standard?
I think it would be a good thing, but it would be an impossibility today. Nobody really knows how much gold the company owns, and I'm sure that there is no way that they own enough to cover our national debt.
Okay, you argued that developing an industrial economy is impossible without protective tariffs. Do you still believe tariffs are important in the modern economy?
I do. Today you have countries that have access to slave labor. They make children work for free. The United States protects the standard of living. To do that, you have to have adequate salaries for your workers. It's very difficult for countries with high standards of living to compete with countries where they are using free labor. So I do see certain instances where tariffs are very important today. I do not think that a hands-off economy can function in modern times.
Hey, Mr. Hamilton, thank you so much for joining us and putting your input in. Do you have a final message for our listeners?
Yes. I fear greatly for the future of the United States. As we watch from over here, we see Congress falling under the influence of individuals making great contributions. We see presidents that are not truly qualified to watch over for the people. We see many things taking place that are undermining security of your country. Many people would love to destroy the United States. The ballot box is where all of your problems can be solved. If you do not elect politicians that truly believe in the country, then there will be no hope. So thank you so much for allowing me to speak.
And I thank you for coming. And actually, one of our listeners referred to you as three very common sense gentlemen.
Well, we had to compromise and show common sense. That was, without that, you would not have a country. Okay, everybody, thank you so much for listening to us. Those were three great guests we had tonight. They sacrificed greatly. And many believed that there was absolutely no way that the United States could ever make it. So please tell your friends about our shows. We're trying to do as much as we can to bring information and knowledge to everyone.
Okay, I'd like to thank you all for joining us this evening. I hope you all have a great week. God bless you all.
Okay, and thank you for listening. Please join us Sundays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on the Para-X Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to Channeling History. Tune in again next week for another electrifying episode, as we never know who will make an appearance or who will come through the portal. Any rebroadcast or other use of this program without explicit permission is strictly prohibited. Copyright 2020. Our story begins by Kevin MacLeod, licensed through Incompetech.com.